Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Joel Alkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which we will link to below this interview. Joel, we're going to hop around to a couple different stocks. However, starting off sector-wise, we are going to focus on the energy sector. Now, there's been unlimited number of headlines out of this COP26 conference, I guess we can call it, that is dealing with, well, climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it. And we've even seen some countries make some announcements on the back of these meetings that probably will have an impact on the energy market. But just looking at crude right now, crude is up a little bit today, still holding above $80 a barrel right now, about $82.50. Fact of the matter is, energy continues to be strong, and that does have implications for markets and economies across the board. But right now, it seems that people are more or less, I guess, in a way, celebrating higher energy prices with some of their investments. But Joel, what's your takeaway from the energy component here, how oil continues to stay elevated, but that does have implications elsewhere for markets and economies?
Good afternoon, Corey and Chad. Thanks for having me. People better be careful what they wish for here. I think that one potential negative catalyst in this market is skyrocketing crude prices. We've already had an inflationary environment, though everyone forgot about it the last couple days. And, you know, if you get runaway crude prices, that's going to affect everything from the, you know, the consumer goods, your big companies running big machinery. So I applaud the effort, you know, to go, you know, more environmental, but the ramifications could be disastrous for the market and the U.S. economy.
Yeah, Joel, there was a lot of people covering yesterday and really this week the idea that they want to cancel that Line 5 oil pipeline. After already having blocked the Keystone pipeline earlier this year, and there was an article out this morning that said that Democratic senators have called on Joe Biden to ban all crude oil exports from the U.S., and it's the same group, ironically, that's blaming the higher gas prices that we have right now at the pumps on OPEC not pumping enough. So there seems to be some cognitive dissonance here where at one side, you know, we were energy independent in the United States just a couple years ago, and we had plenty of spare capacity. Now, 2 years later, we're begging OPEC to please pump more so our prices come down. And this is all as we head towards the holidays where people are supposed to be traveling on planes, airfares going up, you know, freight's going up, costs are going up with all this energy. Is there any end in sight for the nonsense that we're seeing as far as policy from the energy side of things?
No. No, you put that so eloquently. No, it's a bad situation, and it seems going to get worse. Being from Michigan, a lover of the Great Lakes, the biggest amount of fresh water in the world, you know, here I am. I'm looking, that's an old pipeline. It either needs to be seriously repaired, it's going to be hard to be replaced, and there's a lot of environmental concerns. But I tell you, I wouldn't want to be Joe Biden. I wouldn't want to be the Democrats. I don't, or the Republicans. I don't have a solution for this. You know, when you're trying to make the environment better, but you're also, I mean, you have an economy that's so dependent on it. And the way you think, the way people are buying EV stocks, you know, you would think you would never need oil again. But it, like I said, you laid it out accurately. I wish I had a better answer for your for your listeners. But the truth of the matter is, I don't.
Joel, what's the investment theme around this, though? Is there opportunity, or where are you seeing opportunity in any way within the energy sector?
Well, I mean, right now, I mean, crude. I mean, you almost have like a insatiable bid. So as high as the prices have been, as big as the rally's been, I mean, the energy sector has underperformed. You know, I mean, go with the trend. Go with your Exxon Mobils. Go with your Chevrons. Those stocks are still way, way off their all-time highs. A little bit more Exxon Mobil than Chevron. So, you know, go to the oil patch. Go to your, some of your drillers. That's really, I mean, the only way. Not that I'm doing it, But that's the way to play it. But if you want to invest in crude, okay, don't go to the USO. I don't know if, people have different appetites for futures and whatnot. But, if you think crude's going higher, then you got to buy crude. Buying these stocks, some of them had some nice performances. But right now, there's been a big improvement in the way those stocks have performed. And you get a little bit of dividend. So maybe that's the way to play it if you don't want to dip your toe into the futures markets.
Well, Joel, just sticking on this energy theme, that is one way to play it, is, getting into the oil, and nat gas has done well as in tandem. But the big push that's coming out of this COP energy conference that everybody's at, these world leaders, is a push towards renewables. So is there an investment theme where you think things like solar, wind, hydro, tidal, all that could benefit in tandem with some of the, because we got to get the power from somewhere, and they're saying that's where they want to get the power from. So is there a clean energy bid here?
You had the big run up, and I'll just go with the Invesco Solar Energy ETF. You had that big run up after the election, right? Biden was going to bring in all the, all the renewable energy sources. You had a nice pullback. Now it's on its way back up, so solar, but I just, the capacity, wind power, you need wind. Solar power, you need sun. I mean, there's, natural gas is also an alternative, but I'm looking at I don't have much exposure in the solar sector, but why the heck not? Take a look at some ETFs or some individual companies. You've had SolarEdge, perform extremely well. You've also had, I haven't looked at First Solar in a while, but yeah, I mean, but do they have the capacity to meet our demand? It's going to take some time.
Joel, is this, I guess, ongoing or constant demand for energy and oil, which is helping to keep prices elevated, is this also showing us that, again, the economic restart is ongoing and consumers still have money, even though inflation is running higher? I'm even seeing a lot of people at restaurants still driving around. No one seems to care about these higher prices. They're continuing to spend.
Yeah, because of Bitcoin. Everyone's in Bitcoin and in AMC, though AMC is not having a great day today. Yeah, until the market, puts the hurt to people and there's a dip that's not bought, people are, living flop, a lot more investing, perhaps taking some profits and spending the money. So the Fed doesn't want to seem to, stop spiking the punch, and the consumer is following suit. So we just have to see whether, this is transitory inflation or we got more serious in the hand. Today, the rally we had this morning, it was like, oh, there's no inflation. They like the PPI data, but you know how quickly that can change.
Well, I think it's also important to understand there's a lot of people that don't have enough money, so you won't see them at the restaurants. There's a lot of people that are going to have a hard time heating their homes this winter. And it's usually the poor or the very lower middle class that get affected the most. So the people out at restaurants downtown in a city are a different class of people than the people that are like living out in the heartland of any of the areas and getting hit by these energy prices. And people that have to commute to work or people that have to go to the grocery store, they're getting hit at the grocery store because all that food was shipped in. So people are still seeing the higher prices, even if they're a Shiba Inu millionaire or a Dogecoin millionaire. There's still a lot of people that are going to get hit. There is one other energy sector. I don't know what your thoughts on it are, Joel. We've never talked to you about it, but nuclear energy was proposed. China's going to put 150 new reactors in as part of this plan. That's still 20% of the United States energy grid. It's 14% of the world's energy grid. It always gets skipped in the energy discussion, but look at what's happened with uranium stocks this year. They've completely taken off in anticipation that that's going to be an area that it doesn't need the wind to blow 24/7. It doesn't need the sun 24/7, and it's carbon neutral. So do you think there's still an opportunity there, or what are your thoughts on the nuclear sector?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little more hazards, with nuclear energy, but and we've kind of taken a step back from that, right? With the nuclear plants and closing things down. So how are you going to flip the switch that quickly, right? I mean, I know the plants in the United States have been shutting down, but that's going to take a while. They just can't flip the switch and turn everything back on. So it is an alternative, but how long is it going to take?
All right, Joel, let's shift our focus a little bit outside of the energy sector to a couple of the stocks. One that we talk about fairly regularly, that is Tesla, and some comments out of Michael Burry. What are your thoughts on, well, Michael, it seems like putting at least a short-term top in the Tesla stock is, look, it's not hard to argue that Tesla stock is overvalued, but again, that argument hasn't really mattered as the stock kept moving higher.
No, and, you know, the combination of, you know, Elon going out on Twitter, oh, should I sell 10% of my stock and that, and it's just been an incredible run. And, you know, you can't short it on valuations. It's nice to be able to short it and, you know, and have it tweeted out and then that have kind of move. Unfortunately, I don't have that kind of influence in the markets. But, yeah, I mean, it's got a long way to go if it starts to go into reverse, because you got a lot of people that are just thinking, oh, 1,200, 1,250, 1,300. This is a bad candle. This is a bad day. And you get out now, it's a double factor of Musk and now Michael Burry on it. So a couple major negative factors there. And it's going to take a while for this stock to recover. I have a very small position in it and I'm not selling it. I mean, if you base it on valuation, you can lose your butt on it. But if you've been sitting on profits for a long time, boy, oh boy, that October candle, whew, you're not going to see too many of those. And you know, one thing you know about the markets is that, man, you can give back a green candle, a monthly green candle, you can give back in one day. So I'd be very cautious for, you know, if you have large positions in Tesla and if you haven't taken any profits. I mean, yeah, just don't be the guy that says it's down $109 today at 10:54. If I sell it now, I'm going to be losing $200 because it traded 1250. Don't be that guy. You know, take profits when you need to take profits and then move on. Everyone has their own investment horizon, time objectives, but don't you if you don't want to stay out of my doghouse, don't tell me that a stock is down 200 points from the all-time high and you can't sell it because you're losing money. That's some of the worst investment philosophy I've ever heard in my entire life.
That's a solid point, Joel. I think you should be sending out tweets to the marketplace like that, and I think you will start moving the markets. But just this kind of speaks to a bigger point, though, because what Michael Burry said was that Elon Musk should sell stock to cover his personal debts. And to Corey's point, the valuation in Tesla has not mattered. It's been one of the stocks that it's been one of the mania stocks that everybody's flooded into. And as we discussed the last couple of weeks, its market cap was bigger than the other 14 auto companies. So if anybody just takes one step back, that logically makes no sense. How could Tesla be bigger than the other 14 car companies in valuation? Do you think that this is a bell ringing? Because you said that the valuation metrics, if you look at it, it'll drive you crazy. But is there a point where people say, this doesn't even make sense where these things are valued? We think none of that matters anymore.
It matters when it shows up in your P&L. That's when it matters, right? And, you know, that when Wall Street turns on it and starts downgrading on it, you know, I mean, fundamentals don't matter until they matter. Valuations don't matter until they matter. So you can play with the house's money. You can do different things. But overall, in the history of the market, I'm a victim of a stock, too. And it's not my fault. It's my wife's fault. I've been wanting to sell Peloton. I bought that thing before the pandemic. I wanted to sell it at 100, 110, 120, 130, 140, 150, 160. And she told me, I'm wrong. And then I wanted to sell it at 150, 140, 130, 120, 110, 90, 80, 70, 60, 50. It's under $50. Folks, learn your lessons. Sell your peanuts when the circus is in town, because when the circus leaves, there ain't going to be no one to buy your peanuts. You got to be able to take profits in this market no matter how hard it is.
Joel, we're going to wrap it up there. That is a great concept and a great strategy in these markets, especially when you do see just how volatile some of these stocks are and how quickly some are moving. Especially, it's really just a story stock game, right? If these guys can tell a good enough story, they don't even need the fundamentals to back it up, because it seems like investors, that's what they're looking for. A good story, something that, well, they're hoping rides higher, and it seems like a lot of investors ride it up and sometimes ride it back down. We'll see where Tesla moves from here, though.
Yeah, just real quickly, at premarketprep.com, we've put up, we did two educational events so far, Intro to Professional Trading 1 and Professional Trading 2, trading off relationships, talk about a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about now. But the big event that I want to announce is not up on the site yet. It's going to be December 11th, and that's going to be order execution. And my buddy Dennis Dick, who's Canadian, and myself, along with Rob Friesen, who's out of Vancouver, Bright Trading and Stock Odds. Just between us, we've executed thousands and thousands of trades in the markets. We're going to drill down on order execution, and I will get you that information so you can post on your site. It's a must. If you're an active trader, this is a must-see event.
All right, Joel, thanks for the insights on that. When you do get some more information on that, we will happily post that and hope that a lot of our listeners will join you for that event. Joel, thanks as always for your time, buddy. Great chatting with you. We'll chat next week.
Okay, thank you.